After 36 releases, the process of transferring a wax cylinder recording to CD has become commonplace for Richard Martin.
What we have here is an Edison Standard 2-minute cylinder machine, and I've got a 2-minute celluloid indestructible on it from about 1909 or 10. So we're going to hear what it sounds like. I don't recognize the song, but I'm going to have to adjust the speed probably.
Martin turns a crank on the 1906 Edison cylinder, and with a little adjustment, we hear Ada Jones, an early vaudeville performer who had a knack for picking up songs by ear.
By the light of the silvery moon, I want to spoon. To my honey I'll croon a tune. Honeymoon, keep a shining in tune.
Richard can also attach a small adapter to the cylinder phonograph, allowing him to send audio to his computer where some of the crackly sound is filtered out.
The one screw-up we had in the middle there was because the over time, since this is celluloid, it actually shrinks a little bit.
Archaeophone's office is where Richard Martin transfers the old recordings. It also happens to be Martin's home. He and his wife, Megan Hennessy, just moved to a larger home where they have room for their 400 cylinder recordings, 4,078 RPM records, and a number of vinyl LPs and 45s. Martin says they're filling a void with the label.
We had it. Nobody was putting it out. It was in danger of being lost. We're saving American history. That's basically the impulse behind Archaeophone.
The label puts an emphasis on acoustic performances and spoken word recordings found in the public domain, with extensive write-ups about each.
Mr. President and gentlemen of the Board of Directors and citizens, 1/3 of the population of the South is of the Negro race.
That's the voice of Booker T. Washington, believed to be speaking in Chicago in 1908. It's one of 54 recordings that makes up Lost Sounds, Blacks and the Birth of the Recording Industry from 1891 to 1922. That collection recently brought new fame to what Richard and Megan started 9 years ago. It took the award for Best Historical Album at this year's Grammy Awards. Things started slowly, but since both had other jobs, Richard says they could afford that.
Nothing had to be a big success. It could just fill its little niche and that was fine. And so you have to be patient. You have to be willing to let that take its course. In our case, it took years.
Many of their initial discoveries were found on eBay, in junk stores, and antique malls. Megan says other times they've just been lucky.
A friend in St. Louis calls up and says, I found this thing. I don't know if you care about it. I think it's too rough. And he gives the title. And we're like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's heard this in 100 years.
Business has picked up the last few years. So much so that Richard gave up teaching a couple years back so he could stay at home, answer the company phone, and plan new releases. Megan still has a day job. She's in website development at the University of Illinois and helps out on weekends. Over time, they've found collaborators to help find recordings and write liner notes on featured artists like Fanny Bryce, Al Jolson, and African-American vaudeville pioneer Burt Williams. Megan says more people are seeking out such recordings as well.
We've heard from people whose fathers had seen Burt Williams way back when. And by way back when, I mean the man died in March of 1922, so it was way back when. But we've had people order CDs because their favorite record as a child was on it, and they ordered copies and had them sent to their siblings because this was the record that Grandpa used to play.
Other early African-American recordings have been more difficult to track down. George W. Johnson was a former slave and believed to be the first African-American to make a recording, most of them just before or after 1900. Martin says he became an essential part of the award-winning Lost Sounds collection.
He had, I think, 8 distinct pieces that he recorded. And the last new piece that he did had never turned up from 1904. I mean, it shouldn't be that rare. It showed up right before we finished the CD.
That piece was called Carving the Duck.
Carving the Duck.
Lost Sounds was originally a book, but strong sales prompted a CD to accompany it. The author, Tim Brooks, says his research exposed a wealth of information.
Most of the books seem to assume that Bessie Smith stood in front of a recording horn in 1920, and that was the birth of African-American music. But I kept finding all these other people, so I thought, well, maybe I'll see what I can find out about them, too, and the book kind of grew from there.
Former public radio audience researcher David Giovannoni helped Brooks with the CD's liner notes, and joined by Martin and Hennessy, the four accepted their Grammy in Los Angeles on February 11th. With 36 releases in 9 years, Megan Hennessy says she and her husband have set no limits on how long they plan to keep this up.
I think there's going to be stuff left unissued in our lifetimes. There's just so much to put out and so much to work with, and there'll still be records turning up for the first time.
This is another Lost Sound, performed by the Apollo Jubilee Quartet in 1912. Archaeophone's current release is The Great War, an American musical fantasy, which looks at the role recording artists played in promoting the military's effort in World War I. For more on these recordings and other releases from the Archaeophone label, visit their website at archaeophone.com. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Sometimes up and I'm sometimes down, coming for to carry me home.